KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo, getting the lit out, rocking into the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk on a Monday right here. A 95.3 The Score. Thanks for tuning in. So we've got ball games on. Big Monday, a lot of college hoops, some hockey. And this is going to sound really strange. Maybe not. So we see hubby and wife, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union, do that Gatorade commercial. And I'm thinking, all right, I know I could pick Gabrielle Union out. I recognize her now for all the commercials. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I don't know who she is. And so when I Googled her, I thought she was a jock. I thought she was like a player for some college team that I just was unaware of, like a track and field star or something. And it's like, you dolt. She's a really successful actress. I never saw Bad Boys 2 with Will Smith. I know she's an incredible philanthropist and works with assault survivors. And I just learned all this. It's like, well, I've seen you in the spotlight, obviously big NBA junkie, so I know that you're married to D. Wade. But it was like, it dawned on me. I was sitting here, it's like, is she a former player? Is she, I got nothing. I mean, she's had an incredible filmography. She's won some awards. All right, there you go. You learn something new every day. You're supposed to, at least. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So what's really the biggest story today? Would that be the retirement of Philip Rivers, that baseball is considering changing its playoff format? And
we haven't talked about that. What are all of these changes? Because you brought it up a couple times, but we never really got into it.
We did not.
So let's shout.
So the dude who writes for the New York Post, Joel Sherman, says the league is seriously weighing increasing the number of teams from 5 to 7 each league. And it would not start this year or next, but 2022. Now, the best record in the AL and the NL gets a bye, which would leave the other two division winners and 4 wild card teams. And then there would be a best of 3. And whoever has the best record of the two that have to play in the wild card gets to pick its opponent from the 3 lower wild card teams. Then the next winner goes, and the remaining 2 wild cards face each other. By the way, how is that? Like one analyst said, you want to talk about billboard material. Oh, they picked us. They want to play us. I'm kind of intrigued by that. And the reason that they targeted 2022 is you cannot just do that unilaterally. I mean, that has to go as part of collective bargaining with the Players Association. But, you know, when more playoff teams are in, that's a bigger share. That's more TV money. And so in a timing development, so MLB's got a deal with Turner, ESPN, and a collective bargaining agreement that run through 2021. So thar she blows.
Impeccable timing, really, it truly is. We're gonna have this all set up and ready to go after we negotiate a new CBA between the players and the owners and everything. And
new TV money.
Right.
Don't forget. So off the top of my head, I'm like, do they need more playoff teams? And then I was like, they expanded. Every time they expanded, it's been great.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, being old, I go back to when they expanded from 2 to 4 in 1969.
Daniel.
And then the 95, and then adding the extra wild card team. So, hey, go for it. I mean, NFL now has got, what, 12 teams. NHL, NBA has 16. And then, of course, you get into, college basketball with the, in essence, you get to a 4-16 team brackets. Where'd you get this bracket? All right, 284-8571. It's your Oregon fuel injection hotline if you want to jump on in. Somebody said that. Did I say Rivers retired? My bad. I spoke out of league there. He's a free agent and he wants to play another 2 years. So I've tried to kill Barry Sanders.
Well, you didn't try to. You did successfully.
Did I say he passed?
Verbally, yes. You said Barry Sanders has passed.
No, I don't get me sometimes.
You killed
him. Well, Rivers is okay.
He's fine.
And he wants to play. He's a free agent, all right? We'll get to that.
He's going
to
do great with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this
Ouch.
Year. He really is.
Flip-flop, is infamous Jameis going to go to San Diego and he's going to go to the Tampons?
I don't think we should call them the Tampons.
Tampons. I meant like T-A-P-A-N.
Yeah, I
did not mean it that way.
Well, yeah.
I thought I was clear.
Maybe just not to everybody. I don't know where Lamis Jameis is going to go. I could still see Tampa Bay holding on to him just in case.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Rivers and Winston flipping teams, they're just going to throw the same amount of interceptions for both teams, though.
Wow.
Hey, I was calling in about the Duckies, the men's Duck team, their game Saturday night against OSU. I was viewing that game as a must-win game for them to get to 14-4. But I took a step back after the game, and I finally found the word that describes this year, what they're doing, lack of continuity. They got 7 new guys on their rosters this year. 4 of them are freshmen, 3 of them are transfers. And then with Dante missing, he's missed like 14 games now.
Yeah, he's only played 9.
Yeah, and Walker and Lawson and Houston have all been nicked up a little bit for, 3, 4, 5 games here or there. So they just really, and with the 2, they just don't have any inside production right now. So, but I think they're going to be all right. I think they're in the same position that the women's team was in like 3 or 4 weeks ago when they played Stanford at home. They're in a situation that the only game they're playing against Stanford, so they couldn't lose. They wanted to win that and not lose the head-to-head. So now they got Colorado Thursday night, and it's gets them tied for the league, and probably gives them a favorable schedule on throughout to finish up the season.
Yeah,
so
the bottom line
what
is
do you think
they
about that?
Yeah, they do have 5 of the last 7 at home, and I appreciate the call, Mike. And there is no question. First of all, I think our buddy Steve Mims wrote about it before Oregon State that. With the family tragedy that Okoro had to deal with, the injury to Dante, who's played all of 9 games, I mean, their post-game scoring in particular is sorely lacking. And if memory serves correctly, because of Okoro's absence, I mean, of the guys who helped them advance to the Sweet 16 last year, only Richardson and Pritchard played Saturday night. I mean, with King and Bull, Paul White, Bailey, Wooten, Amin, Norris. I brought up last year's. By the way, why is that such an eerily familiar number? How many games did Bull play last year? 9. How many has Dante played this year? 9. It's very number 9. The White Album is just blaring in my head. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in
number
Steven.
9.
Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Tannen. I do have a tiny cold, so I apologize if I talked funny last time. What is your gut on Stephen Curry and his team beating the Miami Heat tonight? I want to say Stephen Curry was an amazing executive producer for the movie Breakthrough. And that made me really emotional when the teenager boy drowned.
Okay, not familiar with it at all. But I appreciate the heads up. Am I missing something with Curry?
I don't know.
I mean, he's... How many games has he played this year? Three? Four?
Played in... No, it was something like 10 or 15, I think, before he hurt himself. But, yeah, I don't know what Steven was referencing there.
Yeah, he's played four games this year.
Oh.
In a conversation with ABC, who's that sideline reporter? Lisa Salters was talking with her. I saw the update yesterday that he's not playing until maybe early March. And let me tell you something. He gets a hangnail. They're not rushing him back. But I'd be perfectly honest, Steve. I haven't really given much thought to the Warriors because, A, they're awful, and he's not playing. So there you go. He's in Florida. He's not listening to us anyway. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, I read you that story about playoff expansion, and that was really the first time I delved into it. I like it. I just like the way that sounds. Picking your own team, the best record gets a bye, give a little value to the regular season, and just something different, unique. Let's face it. One thing baseball is old. When they talk about the demo and I'm the target audience, that's not good for the future.
No.
So anything that could get younger people to pay attention and think, well, that's pretty cool. The fact that you could do that, more teams in, generate more interest. Baseball is not traditionally at the forefront, at the cutting edge of, I'm just going to say, sports.
No, yeah, it's really not. Like, the Joel Sherman wrote an article for the New York Post explaining, he's like, last year, the Astros had the best record just in the AL, so they get a bye, which means the Yankees would have gotten to pick between the Rays, Indians, and Red Sox. And can you imagine going into the last day of the season? Yes, the Red Sox have the worst record, but the Yankees, like, it's not automatic that you're just like, yeah, let's start off a best of three at home with our just longest,
right,
oldest division rival. Like, yeah, it would be nice to knock them out of the playoffs, and TV would be like, please, for the love of God, New York, pick Boston. We need the numbers.
Well, but think about this. If you're a National League team, and let's say the season plays out where David Price is throwing lights out, Kershaw's lights out, and that's their 1-2 punch, and your three best middle-of-the-order hitters are lefty, even
right,
though, let's say, the Dodgers might have the third worst record, but you're going to be like, no.
Right, yeah, you're going to think of matchups.
You're going to mix and match.
You're going to think, does a team just have an ace? Does a team have a lot of starting pitching depth? Have we had success against this team the entire season? Did we play really good with them at home? You know, because in that situation, everything is like, okay, we get a best of three at home. Like, it's a three-game series. We've kind of got to win this. Can you imagine how crazy a game two is going to feel?
It just dawned on me. Who makes this decision? I mean, that's a career ender. You're the GM.
That's true.
You put together a 107-win team, then pick the wrong team and out in the first
Well, yeah, like
round.
The first team that picks, like, the first team that's going, well, and, you know, if it happens in 2022, the first team to be like, oh, this team was really bad. Like, oh, the Red Sox were up by a million games and they just fell apart in the second half. And so we've got it. We're taking our chances against them. And then they lose that series. Oh, boy.
Wow.
That is going to be bad. Like, baseball Twitter is very much not a thing. It will become a thing for that moment. It will be born and it will exist. But yeah, does the manager make the decision? Does the GM? Do they get together and think about it? Do they talk to the players and have some sort of vote of some kind between everybody as to who they want to play?
By the way, somebody on Twitter just said baseball needs to just keep adding teams until Mike Trout gets in the playoffs.
That's a great idea.
That's an awesome idea.
So six teams from the American League will make the playoffs, and the Los Angeles Angels will be the seventh team if they're already not
the
one
hell of
the top six.
The little-known Trout Codicil. So
a Trout Hole.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Phillip Rivers, who's not retiring, Steve. He's joining the, he's in the transfer portal. He's going to be a free agent, which is kind of the NFL version of that.
You're not technically wrong. Like, he's entered a portal. He's going to end up somewhere new. And I think it's going to be one of the Florida teams because he's moved his family across the country. So he's either going to outduel Ryan Fitzpatrick, which the two of those two in a quarterback room, like, we need to have Miami on Hard Knocks, because that any and all footage you can get of Phil Rivers just saying dadgummit and Ryan Fitzmagic just like stroking right. his beard and talking about Harvard, I need that content. Or he's going to go to Tampa. So it's going to be one of the two. Because, I mean, Felipe was a guy who paid somebody to drive him from San Diego to L.A. two times a day throughout the entire football year because he didn't want to uproot his family from San Diego to Los Angeles.
But to San Diego, to Tampa, or Miami.
Uprooting the family. He's got some inside
information.
And that's
a family to uproot. You need a shovel.
Yeah, well,
there's like eight of them, plus he and his wife. Do they have eight kids?
Is it eight or nine? How many kids does he have? Too many. That's
WMK, very many kids. So on a show like this, if a guy retires or declares for free agency, we are required by FCC law to over-evaluate and overthink his entire career.
Absolutely. He has Gunner, Claire, Grace, Rebecca, Anna, Sarah, Catherine, Haley, Caroline, and Peter.
10?
8.
Oh.
9. 9. 9, and then him and his wife.
Do they have a DH? Is his wife the DH?
The Rivers family softball game is just, okay, so you...
The 9 kids and his wife DHs.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I would absolutely have Felipe Rios on my family softball team out there throwing.
Because
he is going to be competitive as hell.
Something tells you he could probably rake, too. 6'5", high-level athlete, knock the snot out of him.
Although, if you're playing with a wiffle ball and you get one with just the right amount
just
of spin,
amount.
I also see Phillip Rivers being the guy that swings so hard he spins in place and falls over.
Tears a pec muscle.
Yeah, man.
So the questions that add up to me with Rivers is, did you ever consider him like a top 3 quarterback? Top 5? Is he unfairly rated because not only has he not won a Super Bowl, he's never won a conference? And was he facing a tall order because of the obvious? I mean, during the teeth of his career, you had Brady and the annoying Patriots, then you had the Steelers, then you had, you know, the last couple of years, Mahomes came along, and of course, just for historical sakes, you know, he was in the same draft as Eli and Roethlisberger, and if you remember, Manning went first to San Diego with his original Eli face. Don't pick me, I ain't going. Then Robert Gallery went to the Raiders, a brilliant pick for Oakland. Then Larry Fitzgerald to the Cardinals. Then Rivers, remember, to the Giants. Then Roethlisberger went to the Steelers at 11. You know, I went through all the quarterbacks in this draft. There was another first-rounder. J.P. Lossman went to the Bills out of Tulane. Then in the third round, Matt Schaub went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was 4 years before they took Matty Ice. Luke McCown in that draft to Cleveland. Then Craig Krenzel of Ohio State went to the Bears. Then, by the way, a Delaware quarterback, pre-Joe Flacco, Andy Hall went to the Eagles. And then in the seventh round, man, this is so long ago, the guy who quarterbacked Michigan against Oregon at Autzen, John Navarre. And by the way, before 2016, the last Husky quarterback to beat Oregon was in that draft.
Oh, wow.
Cody Pickett went to Frisco. And
probably in hindsight, not the best name for a quarterback.
Yeah,
definitely a guy who you should have been a safety.
Yeah, definitely. The thought was, is this an indicator of what we're going to get out of our quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
So when that quarterback class entered the league, you had Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre. I looked, the touchdown leaders in 2003, Brad Johnson, John Kitna, Dante Culpepper, Hasselbeck, Trent Green, And by the way, the Charger quarterback then was an injured Drew Brees, who after 2005 left for the Saints. And Rivers started, by the way, Rivers started the opener at Oakland, and he started every game for 14 full years. Yep. That's crazy. And somebody tweeted out today, kind of interesting, come March, though I think Jerry Jones will sign Dak Prescott long term for big dollars. Am I talking myself out of it the farther I get into this conversation?
Yeah, you sounded like somebody, you were walking into a sentence and you realized I know the words I'm supposed to say and I don't want to say the rest of them. No, I mean, if Jarrah was going to sign Dak Prescott, he would have done it by now. They're waiting to franchise tag him at the, 11:59:59 right before the deadline hits. That's kind of been their plan all along. Leak out a little information about a contract here and there, and just let's wait one more year on Dak and shine. Let's figure new head coach. Let's see how it goes with a franchise tag. Let's not lock down McCarthy to a quarterback that he may or may not like.
So it's not water into wine that I think it's the first Monday in March, you have Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, like he's going anywhere, Ryan Tannehill, Rivers, infamous Jameis, Teddy Bridgewater, and Marcus Mariota all be available to quarterback a team near you.
I still think like three or four of those guys get franchise tagged. Like the idea of all of this quarterback movement is very exciting because it doesn't happen very often in free agency. But like guys only get to become free agents when they kind of have some big issues with them. And other than old age, a lot of these quarterbacks don't have a lot of big issues with them. Like Marcus has probably been the most not good out of all of those guys, I think is the nicest way for me to say that, Eugene, and still keep my life. But even him, like, I think a team would, like, Tennessee.
He's wearing one wearing the Sharks hat.
No, I'm not. Not anymore. Not anymore. I think even Tennessee would be like, hey, we can do some fun stuff if we bring Marcus into a game. He knows the offense we're running here. If something were to happen to Tannehill, maybe let another team throw a lot of dumb money at Ryan Tannehill because he took the Titans to an AFC championship game. Like, let somebody else make that mistake for once, Tennessee. Like, let them go do that.
Yeah, it's an interesting list. We don't know what will become of it. All right. Before we take a break, a shout out to our friends at Big Al State Farm. And they want to know. They want to check. Big Al and his team will take an in-depth look at all your insurance needs, make sure you've got proper coverage to protect your family, because they want to protect you from the consequences that could occur when you're not properly covered. They're located on Cal Young and Eugene next to Dairy Mart. And their phone number is 686-1522 online, BigAlEugene.com. So we're back in the trivia business. What I'll do, I'll ask you, and by the way, this will be a Philip Rivers-related trivia question. And if you... And by the way, don't call the hotline. Don't call the number I'm going to give you. It's only via text.
Don't text the hotline either, because we get a robot voice very scarily says, press any key to hear this message.
The number, 321-0824, our text line. The question is this. Over the course of Philip Rivers' career, he has taken the Chargers to the postseason 6 different years. He has started 11 playoff games. How many has he won? How many playoff games has Philip Rivers won? Text us 321-0824. Win a $10 gift card from Big Al State Farm. We'll be back with the answer and update and you next. 95.3 The Score.
Playoffs?
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at Sports Talk
Lillard with 33 points and 8 assists after falling at Utah in frustrating fashion on the non-no-call, goaltending call against the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert. The Blazers outgunned the Heat, 115-109. Very quickly, as we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3, The Score, our trivia question answer was Philip Rivers, who is becoming a free agent, not retiring, has quarterbacked the Chargers to the playoffs 6 times. He's started 11 playoff games. He's 5-6. And I just asked, how many playoff games had he won? His first year in 06, they lost to Brady and the Pats. In 07, they won 2 games and then lost to Brady and the Pats, who would go on to lose to the Giants. They beat Tennessee and Indianapolis. In 08, he again beat Manning and the Colts, but then lost to Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. In 09, he lost to butt fumble Mark Sanchez and the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And then they beat Cincinnati in 2013. That doesn't count because everybody beats the Bengals in the playoffs. Then they lost to Denver when they had Peyton. And then the year before last, they beat Baltimore, then lost to Brady and the Patriots. So he lost 3 times in the postseason to Brady, once to Roethlisberger, once to Peyton, Hall of Famers, and Butt Fumble Jones.
There's some really good quarterbacks to lose to, and also, like, that just sucks, man. Like, it was hard enough for Manning to get to a Super Bowl having to go through Brady, and Brady just seemed to always walk over Manning no matter what. But then for Philip Rivers, who, you know, talent-wise is a step below those two, and then you've got to go through both of them to get to a Super Bowl? My goodness, man. We probably didn't appreciate Philip Rivers enough, considering what he, like, all of the things that he did, and then just who he had to constantly go up against is insane.
Yeah, you look at some of the great quarterbacks who never got there, and then you go and look back and say, well, that was a pretty tough time to be the 4th best.
Like, it's one thing that people, like, the knock on Drew Brees is, oh, well, he never won an MVP, and then it's like, yeah, but look at all of the other quarterbacks he played with.
Right.
Like, yeah, he never won an MVP because he was always, like, 5th of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, but that top 5 was, like, all of them were 12 times better than everybody who was 6 through 10. Like, there's just this huge gap between them, and he was just kind of always stuck at the bottom of it. But, like, for Philip Rivers to, you know, you put the knock on him, oh, he never made it to the Super Bowl or whatever, trying to get through Brady and Manning is hard, man. Like, Manning only managed it a couple times, and when he did get to the Super Bowl, it's like he got help along the way with somebody else accidentally beating the Patriots in the playoffs.
You know, you look at Dan Fouts, and he never made a Super Bowl. He made it to that conference final that year when it was like 0.7 degrees with the wind chill of about a million in Cincinnati. His first year taking the Chargers to the playoffs under Air Coryell. By the way, their offensive coordinator going back so far was Joe Gibbs. And they lost a tough one to Houston. That he took them to the playoffs 4 consecutive years. Then in 80, they lost the conference championship to the Raiders. And then in 81, they had that crazy divisional game against Miami. Kellen Winslow Sr. and, you know, John Jefferson and just that high-octane offense. But then in the conference championship game against Cincinnati, I don't remember the exact numbers, but if you looked it up, it's like it was like minus 20-some-odd degrees. I think there was a field goal in that game that, like, started straight and, like, hung a right. And then in his last year in the playoffs, the strike season of 1982, they beat the Steelers in the first round, but then they lost to the Dolphins, quarterback then by the late David Woodley, the year before they drafted Marino, and he never got back to the playoffs. So, you know, with Rivers, look what the gauntlet he had to run. And if memory serves correctly, it was that 07 game where he tore his knee up and still finished. So,
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, he's got that Favre-Eli thing going on where it's like, Well, you're out there every single solitary game, every single solitary year.
He was also just like the dorkiest dude ever. And it took, I think, just before San Diego moved to L.A., like that was when everybody started to really get in on embracing Phil Rivers as like a really big dork, like nationally. Like a lot of people in San Diego, you know, or the L.A. area that adopted the Chargers as their team because there was no football in L.A. They were just kind of like, man, this guy's a dork. Like, look at him. He's running around here with a bolo tie. He says, got dumb and heck and never, like, he never curses. He's, you know, trash talking the whole time without swearing. And like, he's just a fun dude who loves football. And it took like the Chargers moving to LA for like everybody nationally to be like, Philip Rivers, oh, America's dorky quarterback. And we just want to give him a big old dadgum hug.
I would say if you had to put the over under, having grown up in New Jersey, if I was never allowed to curse, I would say my head explodes at age 23 and I combust.
I'll take the under. You played golf in high school. I'll take the under.
Yeah, you want to talk about impossible. I have a better chance of, with a running start, jumping to the moon. By the way, the running start is going to help.
Thank you for the qualifier, because the thought of
just
you
standing,
like,
jump.
looking at the moon, and like you built a little ramp and there's like nails
one,
and it's duct taped together.
Three,
you're like,
go.
Okay, you're gonna lean back a little bit and rock forward and lean back and
this.
Rock forward. I'm gonna make it to the moon today, guys.
No, there's no chance of any of that happening. I wanted to get to this. Bobby Knight returned to Bloomington and Assembly Hall for the first time since his Bobby Knight exit. I mean, he's in failing health. He didn't even speak. And the problem with his legacy is he is connected to a whole bunch of awful. I mean, the player, Nick Reed, he choked. Throwing the chair at the Pan American Games. The tussle with a fan who was disrespectful. I mean, that was really the end-all, be-all when the young guy had said, "Hey, Knight," at that infamous restaurant near the end of his tenure with the Hoosiers. He was a jerk. He was a bully. But he had insane standards. His players had to cut the mustard grade-wise above and beyond what the Big Ten had to say. And remember, as far as the NCAA was concerned, he was clean. There were no scandals. There were no suspect players. There was no AAU connection. He said awful things. He did awful things. Like Brandon Tierney reminded today. I mean, he joked about rape with Connie Chung on a national broadcast. And I do not care if you were reared in a place like Eugene in the 2000s or like Knight in Ohio in the 40s and 50s. No, that makes you a sleazebag. And we were talking earlier, if you remember the man who fired him at Indiana, Miles Brand, who, you know, if you're a Duck, you remember he was president of the U of O, passed away in 2009. So when people talk about a complicated legacy, I don't think his is complicated. Brilliant coach, too many instances of being just a horrible, horrible person. You know, he won three national titles. He coached the last perfect national champion, 1976 with Scott May and Quinn Buckner. They went 32-0. And he was a guy who kind of was like, this is what we do. He was very late to the game using a zone. He was insistent on man-to-man. And when you hear hoop junkies talk about philosophies and you hear offensively motion offense, I mean, the general is kind of a pioneer. You know, post players setting screens. Perimeter players had to be unselfish. You got to find the open man. And if you played for him, check this out. You graduated. Of all the four-year players he had, it's amazing, only four did not graduate. He had an 80% graduation rate. And the article I was reading, at the time of his retirement, the national rate was 42. So his was almost double. And, you know, you always wonder, you know, what kind of coaching tree? Well, when he was the head coach at Army. Bill Parcells was a football coach at Army. And the guy who ran Knight's offense at Army was Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. So,
I'm not familiar. I'm sorry.
With Coach K?
Yeah.
Or Parcells, or Bobby Knight.
Is it the guy that they named the floor after at Duke? What does he have to do with Duke? I don't know.
Direct tie-in. By the way, off the top of your head, is there any chance anybody could spell Coach K's last name?
K, the letter K. That's it.
Thanks, you're a lot of help. As usual, I should add.
It's the one right after J and before L.
Well, I've actually heard some of the analysts. Now, it's on ESPN. It's during a college basketball segment where they won't even call him Coach K. They just refer to him as K. And it's like, well, who else are you going to be talking
about? Very friendly. I mean, at least
Kellogg's of Battle Creek.
At least call him Mike at that point, you know?
I don't even think that's necessary. I'll be perfectly honest with you. If you're in under a college basketball ESPN segment and you say K, it's like, well, there's only one guy you're talking about.
How many people do you think still call him Krzyzewski? Like, how many people do you think like are regularly like, hey, Mr. Krzyzewski, how are you? To like, somebody's just ultra formal, but like kind of knows basketball, but not enough to know that it's just Coach K at this point.
So if ESPN's doing the game and it's their A team and it's Billis and whoever's working the sideline that night, I guess it could be Holly Rowe. Will you ever hear him referred to as Krzyzewski? Will they either call him Coach KK or Mike or the Duke coach? Is anybody actually taking the time to get that one?
I don't even know if anybody at ESPN would want to spell out Krzyzewski underneath his name when they do the halftime interview. Like, it might just be like Duke in a stat line, and then like they're just trying to avoid that you're talking to Coach Krzyzewski, because putting Coach K on a TV, like a little blurb, like seems very informal. It should be his last name, but I don't know how to spell it, and if I Googled it, I'd spell it wrong again, and I can't just copy it. It's a whole thing. Just call him Coach K.
The way to remember his name is Coach Krzyzewski. Krzyz. He gets you with a Z-Y-Z.
His last
Zuski.
Can you imagine if you played his last name in a game of Scrabble? You would get 19 million points.
Except there's only one Z.
Oh, well, you'd have to get...
You'd have to cheat.
You'd also have
just
to have...
K. Get a 5.
You'd have to have the blank tile, and you would have to make it a Z. You would ruin every game of Scrabble playing Krzyzewski. ZYZ, get out of here.
Well, you'd always get called on it. Because I remember when I used to play a lot of Scrabble, I'd go visit my grandparents and we'd hang out around the pool, play Scrabble with a dictionary.
Cheaters.
Yeah.
Cheaters.
My grandfather had a neighbor who liked to make up words. It's, and he would go with the whole excuse. It's not really an American word. My grandfather would be, I'm looking it up. If it's not in this dictionary, Bob, you ain't using it. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
No, that's the 74 dictionary. This was a new word in 77. You got to get the 77 dictionary.
When my parents came over from the old country through Ellis Island, that was a word. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Break time, the last one of a Monday, and we'll be back with the tweet of the day and more sports talk. 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. I don't know what to do for Tweet of the Day today. I got very sucked in, very surprisingly, to the Philip Rivers news that he is planning on leaving to become a free agent. He's not retiring, as Steve has several times commented today that Philip Rivers is just retiring. He's not.
He changed.
So I guess the at Chargers. I'm just going to get right to it. At Chargers win the refreshing tweet of the day. They posted a really great video with the caption, "For every minicamp, practice, game, throw, touchdown, win, dadgummit in memory. Hashtag thank you, Philip." And it's a great video of him just making also highly underrated Eli Manning and Peyton Manning level strange faces all the time. The dude was just so intense and so into the game. There was another video posted that was him. It was at a press conference, and he was just like, "What are you going to miss the most?" And getting really emotional. He's just like, "I'm going to miss the guys. I'm going to miss the team. I'm going to miss being out there." He's like, "You know, I just love playing football. Like, that's just what I want to do, is to play football and to be there with my guys and my teammates and playing this game that I love." So, Philip Rivers, I hope he ends up somewhere decent, and he can maybe stick around for a little bit. He's 38. That's old, man. I don't know if he's got the Brady gene in him to be, or the Breeze gene in him to be able to play until he's really 40. Like, 39 may be a bad year for Philip Rivers, but we don't want to think about that. Not today. So thanks to at Chargers for posting some great photos and videos today of one of the dorkiest dudes to ever play quarterback in the history of the NFL. It's gonna be hard to top Philip Rivers in terms of just kind of dork. I mean, it's a high bar to set. Not that you would ever really rate a guy based on how dorky he is. Philip Rivers is up there.
How about Rivers? Because technically Mariota and Tannehill could be free agents. What about Rivers on Tennessee?
Maybe.
I mean, we also know that they have the biggest person in the world running the ball.
Yeah.
Pretty decent offense. Offensive line, good defense.
I think you would want to go to a place that's got better weapons. Like, that's why I think Tampa Bay makes sense, is because you're taking a guy with Godwin and Evans, the running back duos that they've got in Tampa Bay. Like, all of that works. Being able to work with Bruce Arians would be very much like water and oil, and Bruce Arians basically swears every 3 to 5 words, and Philip Rivers like never has in his life. So those two meshing maybe would be interesting, but you give him weapons to work with, and I mean, Lamis Jameis threw for 5,000 yards this year, and he's not a good quarterback. Even if Philip Rivers is old, he's not going to turn the ball over 30 times. He's not going to do that. So that's going to be, I mean, even if it's only 20 interceptions, which sounds like a lot, that's 10 more offensive drives that you have to put up points.
He's not bashful about throwing picks, though. I mean, the good thing about him is it's double. He's got 400 career TD passes and 200 interceptions. He has led the league in picks twice. And like you said, if not for Winston, you'd be like, wow, that 20 is a real lot.
Right. But that's 200 interceptions over 16 seasons of starting 16 straight, or 14 seasons starting 16 games a year. Like, per game, that I think, I don't know, that big
number. He pushes the ball down the field. I'll give him that.
Yeah, well, he's got to try while he still can. Anyways, thanks to at Chargers for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow
Chargers!
The station on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at 953thescore. I am on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Don't be a jerk.
JDI. So, over his history, once people learned that he was kind of an aw-shucks guy, how many side bets were, "I'll get him to curse"?
Oh, so many. If that wasn't a regular game at OTAs with, like, offensive linemen, with quarterback coaches, with his head coach, with LaDainian Tomlinson, with Antonio Gates, any of those guys just being like, "Come on, man, drop an S-bomb. Just say crap. Just say crap."
The late Red Fox of Sanford and Son, one of the original blue comedians who cursed a lot, used to do a routine about if you never said F, S. If you never said S, F. He goes, "Come out outside with me. I will get you to curse. I will slam your hand in my door. You'll say S, F, and call me the N-word." That's what he said.
Yikes.
That was his quote.
Yikes.
Fred, Red Fox was the first, my buddy had an album of his. We're like 11. We're not supposed to be listening to this. So parents go out for the night, and four of us gather around. And, of course, We don't understand what he's talking about, but we're laughing because he's saying curse words, and 11-year-olds are idiots. And then, a year later, Carlin comes out with AM/FM. And we begged and pleaded, and one of our parents caved, and we wore that album out. Because it was just like nobody had heard anything like this. By the way, we're talking here about San Diego and rivers. The San Diego County Center for Disease Control, by the way, has confirmed their first case of coronavirus. Oh. This is not funny. This is scary, scary crap. Yikes-o. I'm sure that's going to be all over the news. But anyway, what was the other thing I wanted to get to? We talked about Bobby Knight. We talked about this lunatic, Mike Bolsinger, a terrible pitcher who decided it was all the Astros' fault because of one outing. And then there was this chucklehead, Barry Booker, who was working the SEC network, which is owned by ESPN. And so he's doing Arkansas, Missouri. And they had a gymnastics broadcast to come up that they were promoting. And Booker said his interest was in scantily clad girls. I want to go see some scantily clad girls. And the announcer was like, no. And those competitions are great family atmospheres. But Booker did not take the hint. He did not take the subtle 2x4 across the head and continued laughing. This is a 50-year-old man on an SEC ESPN broadcast talking about, and by the way, it wasn't that long ago that the Nassar scandal, you know, college gymnastics, was front and center, and people just were, you know, nauseated by the despicable behavior of that guy. And so, of course, you always have to get the nitwits on Twitter. Somebody say, oh, people are too PC. Really? A 50-something-year-old guy talking about scantily clad 18- and 19-year-olds. It's like, no, that's not PC. That's you being an SB. And the second word is bag. So, this is a rocket scientist. And I'm already going to put a little TS there, an early nominee for Toolshed. Tomorrow, we're going to talk with a fellow by the name of Pat Rooney, who he's kind of the Rob Mosley of Colorado. And he covers all things Buffs, and we'll talk some hoops because that is a big game on Thursday. Have a good night. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk right here on 95.3 The Score.
He goes!